It was all a pipe dream, watching bodyboarding up on TV. Deep at reef, watching tension repeats, eating bakery feeds at 18, living the dream with no sunscreen. Yeah, we were so keen, surfing Aussie pipe, buying Riptide, eating shit.
G'day and welcome to the Riptide Bodyboarding Podcast, the home of bodyboarding. Thank you for joining us on episode 70 of our verbal journaling, and I'm your host, Luke O'Connor. Well, today I've got a real special treat, personally for myself and for the greater bodyboarding community, but I'm currently sitting here at the yet-to-be-opened Urban Surf facility in Sydney. I'm sitting with the GM, who's been putting a lot of time and effort in over the last, goodness gracious, I'd have to say, years of his life, 7 days a week, to make this facility a new and improved viable one for the city of Sydney. And I'm so excited to be sitting here with him today. Sean Hutchison, thank you for joining us, bro.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it, man.
No dramas, man. No dramas at all. And I just wanted to say thank you for the tour that you just gave us. The facility looks incredible. I can't believe the upgrades that you guys have made from the Melbourne wave pool. And just to see it actually come into life and seeing what's going to be offered to the greater Sydney region, it's fucking mind-blowing, man.
So it's the whole team. Like, the Urban Surf is such a small company that the whole team got behind Urban Surf Sydney, and all the little tweaks and learnings from Melbourne, everybody had their finger in that pie, and it's come out so good with so many learnings. It's been an amazing journey.
Mate, it has, and I can already tell by just walking around the facility, seeing how you've set it up, you know, how you've grown the facilities offered within the facility, you know, all the different sorts of areas you've tapped into, especially when it comes to like the retail sector, when it comes to hospitality, when it comes to the corporate sector, knowing that you need to be tapping into those areas of the market in Sydney to really make it a viable space. And I just wanted to start off by saying, like, what were the main learnings, or asking you, sorry, what were the main learnings from Melbourne that you really wanted to nail here in Sydney?
I think on who our customer really is, and it's been such a journey with everybody, the loyalty and support from Melbourne, but just who exactly they were. So when we started 4 years ago, they were this core surf market, and over the last 4 years, that's absolutely changed. And now it seems that it's pivoted, and while there'll always be a core core element to Melbourne, the progressive surfer is really taken centerfold for Melbourne. And so with that in mind, we've really designed Sydney around that. Is that this is not just a destination for core surf, but it's for everybody, and it's on everybody's bucket list to stand up to surf and have that first pop-up, and this is all just centered around making that journey as seamless and as fun as possible.
Oh man, and I can already tell already, but walking around the facility, that it is going to be that way. Man, you know, steering away from the facility and talking about the staff that's put in place, yourself being the general manager, that's a huge role to take on, and I know you've had a lot of experience down in Melbourne. You've been shipped up from Victoria to make sure this facility is a success. What's your background within surfing and construction?
So actually, my leisure career started in Dubai, in the Middle East.
Wow.
And I started as a lifeguard, I'll say it, earning $300 a month to work 48 hours a week, pushing people on slides and lifeguarding. And I kind of wingle-wangled my way up that company, and I joined a lot of really top-tier talented companies. So I've done Ski Dubai, indoor skydiving at iFly Dubai, Yas Waterworld, which is an amazing water park, and then I finished at an indoor theme park centered around gaming called Hub Zero. So all that kind of gaming and leisure and entertainment, that's been my field for 20 years. So
wow,
to fall into this was just so lucky, like right time, right place with the right kind of people, and it's been an amazing journey.
Man, that's an illustrious career when you're thinking starting from a lifeguard, which I can really really resonate with. I also started as a lifeguard in a local swimming pool close to where I live in the Sutherland Shire, and made my way up through management, and ended up, you know, starting my own business with like backyard pool renovations and water filtration. And when you can see the humble beginnings really spawn and grow into something which you're now in charge of, a multi-million dollar facility that is going to provide so much joy and leisure to the community, like, it's, you must be so proud.
It really, I will say this, Urban Surf has just been the pinnacle of my career, but it's not just what I'm doing. It's more the people we've brought along and has joined the journey with us. There are so many talented people and we probably spend too long talking about how good Hayley Wallace is. But then just everybody that's with us, from like Damo and Keith and Emily Pilling and everybody else that's joined this journey from day one and made it what it is. It's really the people and the passion behind the scenes that have given their all. There is no 9-to-5. We've failed fast, we've learned a lot, and it's just from dedicated people all wanting the best facility possible, and have done it. We've all done it, and it's really great, and we're only halfway through our journey. There's so much more for us to learn that we're really excited to take it to this next level.
Well, let's speak about the journey, man, because we're sitting here on the 16th of March. You're probably around a month before opening. I'm looking around the place and you can definitely see the major structural work has been done. There's a lot of aesthetics still to be completed, but I know that can be turned around quite quickly. When did the journey start for Sydney Urban Surf?
It really started, like, it seriously started 4 years ago. So we did a side turning event in 2021, which was amazing, but this has been an idea pretty much from when I joined the company in 2018. Like, Sydney was always on the cards for us. Melbourne kind of wrapped their head around Urban Surf first, and Sydney was always close behind. So if it wasn't for COVID, this would have been open a lot sooner. And that's a journey on its own. But yeah, Melbourne and Sydney was always Urban Surf's dream and ambition to open in these major cities.
Sweet. So 2021 was the kind of starting point?
Yeah, I would say there was a lot of documentation pushing through, and obviously SOPA signed up long, long before that. Like, I would say a good 4 or 5 years before that.
Yeah.
But that was really when we kind of announced to Australia our intention to open the Sydney facility.
Crazy. So speaking to you before with that amazing walkthrough you gave us, man, and seeing that this is the Wave Garden technology that's been spread around the world with great success. You know, we've spoken about the Wave down in Melbourne. There's also one in Switzerland. I know there's a couple others out through Europe and South America have a couple.
Yes, Brazil is doing really well in the surf park space. They are flying. They've probably got, I would say, the most in the world right now.
Crazy.
I could be lying.
No, but I know exactly.
They're doing well. I think they've got 3 or 4 already.
Well, I've seen so much footage of, say, one of the world-class surfers, Italo Ferreira.
Like, yes.
You can notice a lot of crazy aerials coming from that sort of technology you guys have implemented. Melbourne being the second wave pool you've mentioned, and this being number 10. It's fascinating to see how quickly this technology has spread, and the way you explained it to me being the most commercially viable because, again, of the number of the waves it can generate within a session. Like, you look at Kelly Slater's wave pool, we spoke about before, with that carriage system going backwards and forwards, you're getting a wave every 3 minutes, which really, when you break down the numbers, is not going to provide an enjoyable setting for just your general surfing community to come and, like, get some waves. So why do you feel this wave garden technology has really taken over the world, and what are its main benefits?
So I would say it's definitely on the mix between the point where the surfers are and the bays. That is essential to be a great commercial model. And this reformed wave that kind of goes through the bays, so you're getting essentially two surfers per one wave, that is a great model. And that is a model that we really focused on, and surfers identify with it. There's so many people that have started in a learn to surf class in the bays, catching white water, and have progressed, and they're now surfing barrels, going on international trips with other members and stuff, that it's really the way to go. And if you've got a strong bay that just flows organically and really good waves at the back, that is just a simple, perfect recipe that Wave Garden has absolutely nailed.
Yeah, they have. And speaking about, like, your concrete floor and the shape of beforehand, I guess, as you just said, like, you've got that setting out the back where it's providing for, like, the intermediate, advanced or expert, and obviously still, like, a beginner setting, so to speak, but that reform on the inside, I noticed when going to Melbourne, I was like, oh, they're pretty much getting bang for buck here, because each wave they're generating with the power and the resources going into it are providing a band of energy for two individual surfers. So that is insane. And speaking about the bottom floor here, I know off air we were speaking about the changes you've made. What are the major changes that you've made to the concrete structure here at Sydney?
So there's a lot more reinforcement in this lagoon, just from learning on what's doing a lot of surveys on what the soil is and provided. But the biggest learning has come from Wave Garden. With every single surf park they've built and tested, they have tweaked their flooring just to get better and better. So the main changes have come from them on the whole topography of the floor and how it's gonna change the wave. So that's probably the most exciting part. And for the machine wave generator, it is Wave Garden have made little tweaks, but they know what they're doing and they just produce great machines time after time. And it's the machine and the floor working together that's going to create these really good waves.
So the floor itself, I know, speaking off air again, you were saying that it's deeper at the back. So the pool at Melbourne is 22 million litres and the pool at Sydney is 24 million litres. And you have the lip, you know, like the floor's a lot more shallower all the way to the actual edge of the lagoon, and then it has a lip and a bit of a dip that then allows the wave to dissipate and lose its energy from there. And you've also got, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, a deeper channel on each side of the wall, so water or energy from those waves is essentially rushing off into that channel, allowing less reverberation and chatter in the pool essentially, and creating a stronger rip for people to get back out to the peak of the lineup.
Yes, so close. I'm going to say close. So the point is exactly the same depth as Melbourne. It's okay. More the bays that are now deeper. So sweet. The bays are deeper. It goes into this really nice, slowly shallow bay in Melbourne. But here it's deeper. So our bays learners can surf and can starfish back into nice, appropriately deep water. But then the floors are angled inward, so that the water starts pulling back into the channel a lot faster. So the channels are the same depth, but it's really that bay that's gotten a little bit deeper, even though the lagoon's a bit shorter. So with all these mixtures, and that's what we're here today for, is to see Wave Garden starting to test it and to put their mad science on it and create us these perfect waves.
So I can't believe we've timed it so well with the Wave Garden team being here. And a lot of them are internationals, originally from Spain?
They're all from Spain, and they just flew in. They went to our Melbourne facility 2 days ago to really reacquaint themselves with the waves we've developed with them over the last 4 years. And then we've done a real in-depth play card on what we want, and James has put that together. So after they've surfed Melbourne, they're really here, and they're pretty focused on what they want to deliver. So today we should see them really starting to take step by step and creating waves for us. And it's not just a wave, but it's how the water moves. Is the white water going through all the zones that it needs to? There's a lot of, and the currents. And are the currents too strong? Are they not strong enough? All of that's going to take a key focus over the next 9 days.
Hectic, man. So good talking all this technical stuff, and it's great to see the European touch being put on some Australian facilities, because we all know they do things quite finicky, and they do it at a very high level and high standard, much like their European cars. And I'd just like to talk about the technology out the back there in the large terminal out there with the Wave Garden tech. Like, what's actually happening inside, and what sort of hydraulic systems are you guys running?
So I'm going to call it, there's 46 doors. There's 46 doors that move left and right in the sequence, and they push water one side to the other side. And it's between these 46 doors or modules in a very specific sequence that moves all this water around. And with the between that and the shape of the floor, that's what creates the wave. So this wall of water will go from 2.5 meters deep to 1.5 meters deep and really jack the wave up. It hits the outer wall, and then with the floor's topography, that's what creates that perfect kind of peeling wave into the center.
Wow.
So two very simple kind of things put together really well creates 35, 40, infinity different types of waves that we can play. So it's amazing.
Insane. And on average, what amount of waves does both the left and the right pump out over an hour or so? Or is there a certain kind of percentage you guys want to keep up to?
So we've always, from day one, we've always promised every surfer, bodyboarder, we've promised them 10 to 12 waves an hour. The opportunity for 10 to 12 waves an hour. So, and that's our promise here. We're not going away from that. When you're with us, you will get 10 to 12 waves an hour.
Wow, that's so amazing. When you think about paying, you know, I know people break down like the cost of a session or whatever, and then you break down the waves you get in it and compare it to, you know, how you would hop out in the ocean and maybe in an hour on like a busy given session, you might only get in between 4 to 6 waves if you're lucky.
Absolutely.
And paddling back out the back, you're going to easily double it here whilst being in a controlled environment and have facilities here where you can go sip a cold brewski after, get a beautiful meal, and then also have a surf academy, a retail store within the center. You were saying Rip Curl's come on board.
Rip Curl has come on board. They're doing our retail store, and there's just so much more there. We're putting in yoga studios and surf fitness. There's one-on-one consultation rooms for like physio and ear checks and skin cancer checks. That we're really trying to take it to that next level where you're coming home. It's not just about surfing, but we're trying to look after kind of all your needs and your main needs, which is surfing, and your ancillary needs as well. That there's always a reason to swing past and come say hi.
That's insane, man. It's insane how you've all collaborated everything together and just made this it's all good. We're actually, just for everyone listening out there, we are currently in the Wave Garden facility, and obviously it is under construction, and Sean's been kind enough to give us a walkthrough. We are in one of the rooms, but if you do hear anything in the background, that is just construction work going on because they are working tirelessly day and night here, 7 days a week to get this open, especially after the COVID delay between 2020 and 2022. Going back to Sean and thinking about from a bodyboarding perspective, you know, I know bodyboarding, the following and the use of the center is quite strong down in Melbourne from a bodyboarding perspective, especially when it gets to the advanced and the expert level because of the barreling section and just the way bodyboarders, you know, really do hunt out more of a slabby kind of drawn out wave than a lot of the beaches and general point breaks or reefs do offer on the East Coast. There's some great waves in the East Coast, don't get me wrong, but you've really got to hunt them out. You've got to be there on the day. You've got to be checking swell forecasts. Where here, you can book a meeting in town or have like a nice dinner out with your significant other or family and get barreled off your teat an hour beforehand.
Absolutely.
And have it all locked in. So yeah. My question being, man, with the bodyboarding community at heart, firstly, what is the like the general percentage of your usage rate when it comes to bodyboarding? And have you looked to try and cater those more advanced and expert sessions towards the Boog?
We have. So I want to start really like take a step back from that and say, one, my claim to fame is I was the first bodyboarder in Melbourne. So I've bodyboarded my whole life and it was great to be the first one.
Sick.
Yes, I was the first one ever to jump in. And
it was that is so claim good. To fame.
Yeah, it was my claim to fame. Yeah. So you'll find me on the left. The left is my favorite barrel setting. But we started grassroots. So it's not just about the back. So one of your first entry to surfing has always been bodyboarding, and we've got a product called Boog in the Bays, and it's really for your groms and your families to just like in the on the beach in the red and yellow flags, and you're pushing them along on a little styrofoam board. So that's our real grassroots on just getting used to the waves, getting used to having mom and dad in the water with you and kind of pushing you along, and then having you kind of grow. If bodyboarding's your thing, which it is for me, absolutely great. Well, then let's kind of take you out to the back as well. And then we have taken it all the way up to the expert level where bodyboarders love the barreling wave. It's an amazing wave. And we've really relied on people like Chris Watson from Bodyboarding Victoria.
Yep.
And his whole community have come through a bunch. And oh my gosh. We've done boogie nights as well. So yep. That's a whole different thing that we've really noticed that there are bodyboarders out there that just want to come be together and have a good session together. But a lot of the crew love a good barrel session, and you'll find us out there at 4:26 in the afternoon. That's when the barrels change.
Yep.
And it turned all the surfers and the bodyboarders together. It's super harmony, and everybody is just like hooting each other on and having such a great time and making it the best that it can be.
That's sick. That's so cool. It's so good you've got Chris Watson and the Victorian bodyboarding, like Victoria Club, Victoria Scene kind of in on it, because I know they, on their closeout podcast, they speak a lot about just how much that has changed the bodyboarding scene down in Melbourne and how how much has almost become a religion, you know what I mean?
Yes,
to be able to go there.
Absolutely.
It's created a different community. It's created a different accessible point, access point, sorry, to those sort of facilities, or that sort of culture, just because you can hop into the pool at any given stage. And Melbourne being a beautiful city itself, but the coastline being around there, Victoria being quite raw, you can't always just access waves whenever you want here on the East Coast. It's there's a little bit different, the dynamics.
So absolutely.
It's really cool to see that it's grown down there.
And yeah, I mean, what's better, right? Just knowing your perfect setting and then just being out with a bunch of friends. There's nothing better.
Yeah.
It's just perfect time, perfect place. But also, like, we've got the old school crew as well that have the, I'm going to call them from South Africa, the inflatable Lilos.
Yep.
And they're also come out. And,
really?
And yeah, there's some of them that come out with the inflatable Lilos and bring it back to the 70s and just have a good Lilo session. And they do really, really well. And yeah, so just the genres around it as well has been so amazing to see as you're sitting in the shoreline just watching it all.
For sure. And it's not just surfing orientated. There's so many things you can bring into it. Like my father is an avid Nilo, and you know, he enjoyed it down in Melbourne, and you can see the different crafts coming together, and it's creating more of a community feel than just a segregated kind of alpha male dominated feel out in the lineup in a lot of surf breaks around the world. Because and I say that with the most utmost respect to surfing, but like generally there is like a real pecking order in the lineup where you have to navigate and understand where you're at, and you have to do a lot more reading, where here you can have that entry level in and just get enjoyment out of waves straight away, which is insane.
Absolutely, and there's so many little crews. Go next door. There's so many crews that have kind of formed their own natural clique. So there is like the kneeboarding crew of Jason and Jeff, and they've formed their own clique. And there's the 6 a.m. crew at Melbourne. They, through winter, they insisted on surfing at 6 a.m.
Wow.
And I was like, it is insanely cold. You're not going to bring the people to do it. And they have the whole way through winter. There's a 6 a.m. crew that are now sold out because the vibe is just so high.
Dude, do they enjoy torture?
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's, yeah, like right equipment and the right vibe in the water, and people are there. So Girls Go Urban Surf have created this great community. We do it at least once a month where they take over one side of the point. At certain times, they've taken over the whole lagoon on just female surfers. So it's all these little cliques that kind of merge together. And when you're waiting for that next set to come through, just sitting in the lineup, knowing you don't have to challenge each other, it just sparks such great conversation on how was your last wave? Oh, I saw you do that. That was amazing. Like, have you tried this? All these different little tweaks. It just takes it to that next friendly level.
100%. And I've actually, speaking about on that point, I've only had a good friend. He's looking to get married very soon, and they both had their bucks and their hens party. And his fiance and soon to be wife actually headed down to Melbourne with a bunch of girls and had a time of it. They booked a couple of sessions. They enjoyed, you know, the beautiful three Blue Ducks eatery down there, like the restaurant, and you know, just having champagne and cocktails by the forever perfect barreling waves. And you just kind of think to yourself that the model itself brings the best of the beach and the best of a perfect surf break to an urban facility, hence the name Urban Surf, and just marries them up so sweetly, where really, for you to get that experience prior to wave pool technology being introduced, you had to go to crazy lengths to try and get that experience. And if it didn't coincide with the time frame in which you wanted to go on that trip, you were just left, you know, either on a boat, sinking piss, trying to get fish, or you were, you know, just
absolutely,
on a remote island, or you were somewhere where there were no facilities. Here, it just kind of brings everything together. And I think you're going to see, which you probably already have seen in Melbourne, a real different type of bodyboarder and surfer coming out of these areas.
It's absolutely. Well, the first time I ever got barreled was at Urban Surf.
Yeah.
Never been barreled in my life before, and I probably never will be in the ocean. But I've been barreled off my head so many times in Melbourne, and I will be in Sydney as well. So if you see me on the left, come say hi but when I'm not getting barreled. But yeah, like, that is it though. It's just created this opportunity for so many people to feel comfortable and do things that they normally wouldn't in the ocean. But then still, like, Urban Surf's motto is to always ensure people do go back to the ocean and they are feeling safe and they've learned what they need to go back and really have that natural experience, and which they have. There's like the member groups have just formed their own little cliques and are forever posting on like international trips that they go on or local like surf trips that they go on now that they've met each other, and it's been great.
Yeah, so cool, man. And going back to the facility really quickly, we're sitting here, we're facing Northeast at the moment. We've got like the sun starting to beam in through the office windows up the top. We're on the second story looking over the facility. And I just wanted to ask you why you guys chose this way of facing. What was there any sort of weather pattern research gone into it? And like in regards to, because essentially what I'm feeling is the both the left and the right pretty much face south. And you've got the northeast part of the city, kind or the northern part of the Sydney Olympic Park, so to speak, behind where the waves are generated.
Yeah, so it's really that on offshore will be southeasterly. But at the same time, the hill on the right of us will block the northerly coming through.
Yeah, so that's massive, man. Can we really speak about that? Because this is something Melbourne doesn't have, and you can really tell this is going to be a windbreak, insanely beneficial, especially for the right, where you've got a hill built up of what like is it 10 meters, 15 meters?
Yeah, it's a good height, man. Yeah. It's a really good height.
That's it.
And but it's not just that. It's like all the trees around us. It's a crazy view compared to Melbourne. I love Melbourne for that industry feel, and Melbourne feels like it, because we're in the industry park there, it feels at home.
Yeah.
But this also just feels at home. There's trees all around us. We're 20 Ks from the coast, so those strong northerlies aren't going to reach all the way here. But sure, even if they do, there's a lot of trees to block it. This events hill that we're looking at right now to block it. And when the wind is pumping on the beach, it's not here. It's just this beautiful little breeze that comes through and it doesn't disrupt things too hard. So we're excited to see what the waves will do and how the weather will affect it, but we don't expect it to affect it too much.
Well, for sure. Like to be perfectly honest, right now on the coast today, there was a howling southerly that came up yesterday on Friday. It's still strong southerly to southeast today. And really I'm looking at the lagoon and there's not pretty much a drop out of place.
Yeah.
And there's no chop going up the face. You do notice in Melbourne, unfortunately, not unfortunately, but where they're located, you know, with the Southern Ocean there and like big lows and fronts going past, you do get prevailing winds because they are almost in like a little peninsula, so to speak, where systems do move over. Here in Sydney Olympic Park, you're in the more western part of the Sydney Basin, you're lower down, you're not up on like a high cliff top or in an elevated area. So it's, right now it's onshore and rainy at the beach, and we've just had a little sunshine shower come through here, but really when I'm looking around at the trees at the moment, there's not a breath of wind.
No, it's perfect. It's really ideal kind of perfect conditions for you to come out and know that you're gonna nail it.
Yeah.
And you're gonna have such a good day and you're not gonna be blown away and it's just gonna be a really, really nice experience.
And even if you do get a large southerly that does come through Sydney in winter and it does drop the temperature, as we said, southeast is offshore here. I would say southerly would be kind of, or like south-southeast would be ideal for the left, and as you said, southeast for the right. Those winds are the only real strong ones you're going to get. You do get belters of northerlies in summer, but again, that hill blocking it and also not reaching so much out here, being like the northerly, where traditionally a southerly comes up the coast and rips up the east coast, where a northerly is more generated local wind that hits the seaboard. And once you get past those wind breaks of, like all the different river systems and everything that's coming into Sydney Harbour and the Sydney Basin, out here, you're very protected.
Very lucky spot, and with SOPA as our landlord, and they've been with us from day one, is just so good, and it really kind of brings inner city and west together, and it's just real perfect location for core surf and non-surf and just everybody to mix and to form like this perfect middle land that is nice and isolated, and it's just beautiful.
It
looks absolutely beautiful.
It is, man. And I've noticed too, we were speaking before about the hot pools have been replaced with a large kind of leisure swimming pool that is going to be at the forefront of the right-hander. And I love watching it from a pool perspective myself, and just seeing, like, you know, the different beach steps you've got around there. Like, what size pool is that, and how many people can it hold?
It's just a great kind of after surf or pre surf hangout pool.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be smashing out laps, but it's going to fit a good 50 people in the pool. And again, it's just to hang out. We've designed it that you can kind of laze around and just watch the next session. And there's a lot of benching seating around in the water that just sits and just have a good watch. And
so sick.
People are surfing all the time and you should be watching them.
You should be, man. And it's going to be great for the families. It's going to be great for the spectators, as we just spoke about. And I was really stoked to hear on our walk around mentioning the filtration system that you guys have employed, the Neptune and Benson ultra fine filtration, filtering down to 99.8% of microns out of the water. You've got a chlorinated system aided with UV. And obviously being Sydney and you guys class as a commercial pool, you have Sydney Health always kind of, you know, checking up and making sure your water balances are obviously correct. That's a really, that's a great peace of mind for a lot of people who will be using the facility, knowing that the water is out of the highest standards and that the filtration system is, and really from an environmental aspect, those UFF filters, the Neptune and Benson, they use such a small percentage of water in regards to backwashing and letting go of water compared to traditional sand filters, which are down in the Melbourne Urban Surf Facility. Can you just elaborate on that, man?
I will as much as I can. It's not my forte, but yeah, like we really learned a lot from Melbourne, and being classified as a commercial swimming pool, outdoor commercial swimming pool, it's really, we've known from day one what Sydney needed to be, and just that kind of light and the assistance from the government on what we are, because we are this brand new thing, that we are a round facility that is in a square industry, and we don't fit in traditional holes, and so knowing what we are and having the government with us and kind of letting us know what the stipulations is has allowed us to get the correct equipment. And surface safety is always number one, so even from a water point of view, it is the cleanest water that you'll see. Right now the sun's just come out and it is tropical blue. We'll get it to a stage where you should be able to see through the wave as it's just before it breaks. So it's important to us, and it's also the look, and we just want people to, when they arrive, that they can just feel at home and just be like, this is just like any other pool, I'm safe and I'm looked after here.
Yeah, definitely, man. And as you said, like the regulations in place from Sydney Health and then also New South Wales Health, sorry. And then, you know, knowing you've got the best technology in place really reassures customer satisfaction, and just, you know, you just know that a large body of water like this is really going to be taken care of. And it's such a treat, man, because that's the one thing that I guess with the wave pool technology coming in to view, especially in the last 10 years. Like I remember hearing over in Waco, Texas, they did have an outbreak of some sort of bacteria and all that sort of stuff. And you know, I mean, it's all hearsay and whatever, but when you have that peace of mind and you know that you're regulated and you know you're using the best technology that's been used around water parks all around the world, that you're just ticking all the boxes, you know what I mean? And the improvements you guys have made from Melbourne to Sydney is so evident. It's fascinating, man. I'm so excited to come here, eh?
Yeah, good. Because, yeah, the team has worked hard, and, like, we've got a really, really strong facilities team led by Jerome Dean, and he's got so much experience, like, in Australia, like, working in aquariums and water parks and everything, that he's really made sure that we do have the best of the best, and he's trained them, and that just gives us the confidence to operate 16 hours a day, and that's what we're going to do when we open, and it'll always just look amazing.
Hectic. So 16 hours a day, we're talking from 6 a.m. to
10 p.m.
10 p.m.
Yeah, last waves at 10 p.m.
Wow.
So these beautiful sports lights that you're looking at, like those will be switched on. If you look a little bit lower, those are actually going to be colored lights. So the lower lights, we'll be able to put some color on the lagoon as well. So
wow, so it's gonna become even more trippy. Yeah, at nighttime barrel, absolutely. It was a real turquoise, I remember, in Melbourne.
Yeah,
you're about to have different shades going through it.
Different shades going through it. So a good partner of ours is GWS, and yep. if we can have the orange at the start of every game and get people started here and walking to the stadium,
wow.
like the opportunities are endless. And
man, who needs psychedelics? Waves like this.
It's so good. Oh, it's dude. So good. So yeah, state of origin and everything, we'll play our part and wow. and just yeah, create the vibe and add to it. We're going to add to the vibe.
The way you're branching out into the events industry and realizing that you could just be that linchpin, so to speak, for so many all like pretty much the conduit for like people to kind of have that extra piece of experience when they come to Sydney, you know what I mean? Like they can go eat in a beautiful restaurant, they can go to the Opera House, they can go watch the State of Origin or GWS game, but they can also mix in an experience where you can't get in many other places in the world. And so accessible in, you know, I know Canberra's supposedly our capital nation, or I mean capital city or whatever, but really when you think about Melbourne and Sydney, they're probably the two leading contenders.
Absolutely.
And to have it here in Sydney is just it's just a missing link.
It really adds that key link to the Soper area. Is people come out here all the time for events, and everybody comes at the last minute, so you're all jammed in traffic together, but this creates that why not come a little bit earlier, 4 hours earlier, have a surf, then walk over the road and go to a concert. And so it does create that really like return home feel. And we've had a lot of artists use Urban Surf and come surf after hours with us, and that's the play as well, is we want to be a destination for everybody. So from your local punter who's just going to come in, to that draw card for an artist to maybe have a little bit more of an exclusive after hours experience where they can just kind of get away for the day and have a few waves with us. And so we are, like, being in this area again, like the opportunities are endless to work not just by ourselves but with everybody around us to make sure that this whole area just pops, that Sydney Olympic Park just really is a good place to come.
Yeah, for sure. And it's adding to the worth and the value of it. And I kind of skimmed past it when you mentioned about the hill before, but you're looking to have live bands up on that hill?
Yeah, so we're going to start a little bit small and start with like small to medium events, and then we're really going to take the next 18 months learnings and then relook at our whole facility and look at what we can add and bring to the district. So we'll see what happens over the next 18 months, but we've already had a lot of artists reach out to us and want to play. So if that continues, yeah, we'll really kind of make our own little niche area for events in the years to come.
That's psycho. And that's really cool for smaller, not lesser bands, but just like more niche bands that enjoy playing like smaller venues and enjoy, you know, the I guess the different quirky kind of venues that this would really offer up. Like, not many people are playing in front of artificial waves.
Absolutely.
In the western part of Sydney, you know what I mean? So that's so cool to see. And, you know, or again, thank you so much for the facility walk around. And we did note, going on the left and the right, you guys have lowered the height of the wall, the viewing platform, so to speak.
Absolutely.
So everyone can see and everyone can kind of perch up there and watch all their relatives and friends get barreled.
So yeah, kids, adults, everybody can now, like, they don't have to be lifted up onto the wall. They can absolutely see, and that's really been the objective for Sydney, is no matter where you are at Urban Surf, you are watching the lagoon at all times. Like, you won't be able to tear your eyes away from it. Some great surfers, bodyboarders, everybody, and you should be watching them. You should be watching them. You should be hooting and hollering and just making sure, like, just have a great time.
For sure.
So yeah.
It's a little amphitheater effect.
Absolutely. So if you are a little bit jittery, there's a lot of people suddenly watching you, and may you get sponsored. But yeah, like, everybody should be watching you, and there's nothing better than seeing full families on the wall just watching that family member just have the best wave of their life.
Oh,
and
sure.
and it'll never be forgotten.
And watching the progression, like, you know, down in Melbourne, I did note, especially we've had Ty Richardson on the podcast, and we know he's the resident videographer down there, and just speaking to him prior and just hearing that, like, there is, watching the progression of athletes is amazing, but again, watching pool surfers come up and just the way they attack a wave, you know, in a different sense to a traditional bodyboarder or surfer out in the ocean. Like, did you guys see something forming down there where you're like, oh, this technology is the start of something?
Absolutely. And again, it's not that elite surfer. From day one, we had great surfers. Taj Burrows was there in the water with us from day one, which was amazing to see. But it was more the trepid surfer, that nervous surfer or bodyboarder that kind of was cajoled into the water and it was all still safe, and then to have the wave of their life and just to see, like, something switch in their brain and just like, this is it, and this is it for me. And there's been, like, some memorable moments. One of our lifeguards, never in Melbourne, never surfed before, never did anything before, and was just working at a commercial pool, and 3 months later, after starting to work with us, he was surfing barrels. Wow. So it's just that progression, and it's the opportunity for you to test and to try something that you never have before. And while a barrel is so fleeting, just the first time, the first experience, no matter it's barrel popping up or whatever it is, but it just flicks that switch. And to have it in a safe environment where there's every opportunity for somebody to look after you, that you didn't have to go halfway across the world to find that perfect wave, that's it. That is really, really it. And that's what people are finding. And then the bug bites and they continue. And there's progression programs. And if you're bodyboarding, we work with you to go through those different steps and to get you to each next level. And surfing, bodyboarding, there's always a progression for you to just kind of nail it.
It's crazy when you just speak about that example, because you have someone who hadn't surfed before, within 3 months has gone to ride in a barrel. If that was someone in the ocean that didn't have the accessibility to constant perfect waves and to understand where to sit and position themselves and to hone in on their skills, that would take years. I'm talking years, man. So that is just incredible to hear that. And speaking about the staff here, like, have you guys hired all your lifeguards, your operation staff?
So we've hired phase one, and we are looking right now. We're going back out now. So jump online, just Google Urban Surf Careers, and you can apply for everything and anything. So we're looking for ticketing staff, to lifeguards, to surf guides, to surf coaches. And again, we're not just looking for young, youthful staff. They're great, and we've got a bunch now, but we're also looking for the mature surfer, especially if you want to be in the water. We love that calm that mature surfers bring. So if you're a mature surfer, bodyboarder, and you're looking for, you're slowing down in your career as well, like, being a surf coach, a surf guide, like, your knowledge and experience cannot just be brain dumped into somebody.
Yeah,
like, we love that. We love the broad spectrum that we have in Melbourne, and that's what we're looking for. We're just looking for frothed up people that want to progress at any level. If they've never jumped in the water, jump in the water and find your tribe. Your tribe is not always going to be that elite surfer. Like, my tribe is the barrel seeking person on the left, as well as I'm a kooky surfer that I surf the smaller waves, and that's my other little tribe. So I fall into two tribes, and there's people that I've bodyboarded with and surf for years, and we formed this clique together, and that's what we're looking for. Is it's that experience that you kind of go through together, you struggle through, you get your wins, your losses, and you never forget it, and you're doing it with somebody that you know, and it just makes it that much better.
That's so good, man. It's so good to hear that you can go out into different areas of, like, the surfing community, and not just focus on bodyboarding and surfing, and just try everything out, even like on a longboard, you know what I mean? Like, like the multidisciplinary kind of approach is so refreshing, and I think that what makes a great waterman and waterwoman, and it's and you hone it all here. Thinking about the opening of the facility, I don't want to put you on any pressure, Sean, but like, what's the opening date you guys have in mind?
So April. We weren't lying when we said April, but our promise is to open the facility, publicly open the facility in April 2024. Wow. There's a little bit more of work to do, as you can see through the window, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to open, and it's going to be amazing, man. Yeah, it's going to be really, really good.
Dude, from seeing you guys being here, you know, so early in the morning already, and just everyone here on a Saturday, you can tell it's a 7-day operation at the moment trying to make this happen. And I just want to thank you so much for having us in your facility, man. I really want to thank you for the opportunity to come see this state-of-the-art technology and what you guys have done from the original second wave garden facility up to number 10 here in Sydney. The improvements are leaps and bounds, and I am so impressed. So thank you, man.
It's been great to have you, and we will see you in the water.
Yes, man. Happy days. Cheers again.
Cheers. Thank you.
John. No dramas. Love it, bro.